At Rad Radio, we practice both siderism. You know, we have the audacity not to mindlessly base our opinions on whether something is supported by one particular political party or another. This country is a mess. And now, back to the show.
A couple of emails after our opening segment, rad@radradio.com. First one is from Robert.
Hey, Robert.
As we were reminiscing about various horrible things about the radio industry, which is everything. Robert says, okay, Rob, so since you don't want your in-house team to be the street team, I'd like to apply to be your street team leader. The street team thing again.
That's sweet.
This idea of you send out morons, no names, interns.
Oh, man, thank you.
You don't even have one of your on-air DJs, most of whom are meaningless anyways there, and you go out to get a T-shirt or back in the day a CD or a bumper sticker or whatever. None of that matters because the idea is, they're going to see the station and they're going to turn us on. Right, and when they turn on your station and it sucks, it doesn't matter. Back to the answer. Do good radio. That's all that matters. Zachary wrote in because we were talking about this guy in Texas who's changed his name legally to, what was it, anybody else or whatever.
He's going to win. What's he going to do?
You can vote for him if you write him in. He's trying to get on the ballot in Texas. Everywhere else, you have to be written in. He'll get fewer votes than Ronald McDonald, but it's a cute gimmick. But Dawn had mentioned that she's considering maybe this will be the first year she doesn't vote. I haven't voted in more than a decade because it doesn't matter.
I mean, I'll show up. I just got to write something in.
Zach says, question for Dawn, since you said you've been voting since you could, what was it like voting for Eisenhower?
I knew it.
Thanks for all you guys do. We have some entertainment news.
Overture, curtain and lights, it's time for entertainment news.
We begin with the number one movie over the weekend, the Ghostbusters latest franchise installment, Frozen Empire, which Ghostbusters is one of Brandon's favorite franchises.
Mm-hmm.
But because of scheduling and other issues, he couldn't get to the theater to see it. Now, are you waiting all the way until it's available to stream at home?
No, because I'm going to have to wait either way. Whether it's a couple of weeks or until it comes out to stream, I just still have to wait. And I've been waiting on a certain pirate to reach out to me with some sort of link to some booty so that I could claim that treasure and maybe watch this film before it is released legally.
Another way to
It'll happen eventually, but not anytime soon.
Initial reviews from actual humans, not critics, are pretty good. No spoilers in here, by the way. The story returns to the paranormal adventures in New York City, the setting of the original 84 Ghostbusters. An ancient spirit is released who wants to raise an undead army and take on humanity, cause an ice age. Thus the name Frozen Empire.
Stop it!
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
The thing that is leaked out that is of most note, and again, isn't really a spoiler, because obviously this is what they were trying to do, is that it does set a course for future franchise outings. And there is also the whole as the credits roll thing to stick around and watch for.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Post-credit scene.
If you don't remember, so Paul Rudd and a couple of no-names play the kids of Harold Ramis's old character, and they team up with the originals, and that's how they, spoiler alert, I think we all know, save the world in the end.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Well, obviously, that you, if you're not an idiot, which I know a lot of you are.
Oh, no, gosh.
If you're not an idiot, when you take 70-year-old actors from a franchise from 40-plus years ago and you team them with middle-age or younger actors, what you're doing is you're setting up a way to keep the franchise going. This was the original plan with Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of My Crystal Butt, where they were going to turn the franchise over to Shia LaBeouf until they realized that was a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Then they made that awful fifth film, and now that franchise is pretty much dead until Hollywood comes along in 20 years and says, hey, let's redo Indiana Jones with an entirely new actor and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Or just use an AI version of Harrison Ford.
You're right. In 20 years at that point, why not? So as the credits roll alongside the familiar refrains of Ray Parker Jr.'s vintage Ghostbusters theme song, which, thank God, Thank God they didn't do the whole, we're going to update the theme song.
Yeah, no. It's great how it
they
is.
They just went with the original. So this is at the very end. The screen cuts to a remote truck stop and a driver of a Stay Puffed marshmallow truck steps out of his semi to get gas and snacks. But then the truck starts rolling away.
What?
And it is the cute and chaotic Mini Puffs, who you remember from
the
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah.
And who return in the new movie, hijacking the vehicle. And the director says, we've got a feeling there are very specific stories in the future for those little bandits. Nothing is set in stone yet. But the original stars have ideas for where to take the series. Dan Aykroyd, who co-wrote the first two Ghostbusters, has already penned what he calls a, quote, neat story.
Oh, thank you. A neat story.
That is how that's how men in their 70s talk.
It's neat.
If he was in his 50s, he would call it rad or gnarly.
Right.
Okay? It's a neat story where the old guys will step back a little, and the kids, Paul Rudd and the others, will have to handle things more on their own, thus the new franchise goes on.
Now, that's
on
a franchise. It's,
and on,
that's so great
and on,
to have
and
it go on and on.
It's just
feel good.
It's only great if the movies are good.
Well, it'll probably be a good setup, because if they're going to continue on the franchise and they're going to bring in all the old actors from the original films, once the old actors pass away, then their ghosts can be now in the more developed, newer episodes.
Just like Egon's was, played by Harold Ramis in the last Ghostbusters Afterlife.
And again, with AI and everything else going on, it's so easy to do. In fact, why even include the young people anymore? Just keep remaking them with Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. We don't need the young kids.
Well, I think they made an outstanding choice with Paul Rudd to help carry it on to the next generation, because he's basically like this generation's Bill Murray, but just like more attractive, and he's aging backwards.
But to your point, Rob, if they wanted to save money, then sorry, you're fired, Paul Rudd.
Right. I mean,
that's true.
Or
we got,
you know,
AI.
What? Keep Paul Rudd and get rid of the other two no names. Kill them off.
The kids?
Yeah. Just kill them
They're
off.
They're great.
Kill them off?
Yes.
You mean new kids.
Again, budgeting. We don't need them. And we've got AI for whatever else we do need.
Oh,
yeah, God. Do they even have their names in here?
Finn Wolfhard is one of them. He was actually in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So he's a known person.
Yeah, but nobody's going to this movie because of him.
No.
That's my point. There are people that are going to go see this movie because of Paul Rudd.
Oh, love Paul Rudd.
Nobody's going to this movie because of him. And who's the broad?
I don't know her name,
but she does
play a spot on relative of Harold Ramis's character.
Right. Well, but again, nobody's going to see the movie.
No, people are going to see Ghostbusters on the whole.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. Like, but they do bring a certain characteristic and a charm to the movie. There's another kid in there called Podcast, and he walks around with a recording device because he's hosting a podcast, and he's one of the comic reliefs of the movie. He's really good.
I do have to correct you on one thing, though. It's just a vernacular thing. You know how I am about words. People are going just because it's Ghostbusters. Well, they didn't do that with the female version, and it was still called Ghostbusters.
Oof, yeah.
So it's got to be they're going because it's Ghostbusters as we know and love.
Classic.
Ghostbusters. Something like that. You know, just add in words. All right. We got. Oh, damn it. I wasn't here. This isn't. Okay. This is another follow up, and it does lead us into other things related to entertainment and such. We have yet another follow up. We've been getting phone calls lately from Kyle's dad, and because I'm on the road, hands free, California, aren't I? Don't I follow every law? Come on, Greg.
He does not follow every law.
It's you and me,
He's
pal.
He's speeding.
Come on.
Oh, gosh.
So this time we do have an email from Kyle's dad here.
Yes.
Kyle's mutter.
Hi, Dad.
Kyle's fada wrote an email, and they gotta tell us something quite disturbing. And at his expense, the world will all start laughing.
So a lot of this came up because of the remake or the redo or the new version, whatever you want to call it, of Roadhouse, the classic Patrick Swayze movie, which when you heard the idea, most of us who are men of a certain age are like, no, it's a classic. Don't touch it.
Get off my lawn.
Then I saw the trailer with Jake Gyllenhaal, and I was like, well, wait a minute. This looks like an excellent movie. It doesn't really necessarily look like Roadhouse, but obviously they're trying to live off of the name of it. And while talking about all of this, because it came out last week on Amazon Prime, Kyle uttered yet another shocking revelation that he had never seen Roadhouse. Which is shocking, not because Kyle's in his early 30s, but because he has a father who is literally my age. And how did his dad not expose him to Roadhouse? Or we found even out Point Break.
These are two guy movies you have to see.
They're just movies that so Kyle's dad called and said, you know, one of the dangers of having your son on the radio and you get to hear it every day is that you tend to grip your steering wheel so hard you break your knuckles because you're reminded of the things you didn't do as a dad that you should have done, like expose him to Roadhouse and such. So he wrote back in and he said, I do apologize for taking the easy way out and calling into the show recently. For some strange reason, I felt that your phone screener was bored and maybe wanted to hear my voice. I do prefer to write into the show. I come off much more eloquent and educated when I can sit down and type out my thoughts. Plus, Rob is the greatest narrator of all time and makes me sound brilliant. Part of that sentence was not in the email. You decide which one. Greg goes on to say, it is dangerous to put me on a live mic and let me go unscripted. Kyle does come by it honestly and continues to improve on the mic daily. I've had to travel a lot recently, and it seemed when things came up that required a response from Kyle's dad, the phone was the only viable option, and what a crap option it is, seemingly in everyone's opinion, including mine.
You're just such a good writer.
Kyle.
Hi.
Seriously. You need to get over to the house ASAP, and we will sit down and we will watch Roadhouse and Point Break. These are the pinnacle of Gen X movie greatness.
Ooh, ooh. All right, well, we can watch Point Break because I did watch Roadhouse over the weekend.
The original.
I watched the original.
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, Sam Elliott, Kelly Lynch, yes.
And your opinion of the movie?
It was a lot of fighting and bottle breaking. I felt like they just had a lot of fun making the movie, going, how many glasses can we break in this bar? And, I really enjoyed the electric guitar in between scenes. You know how the 80s has that classic electrical guitar, soft rock kind of feel to it? It brought me back to memories of childhood hearing that. I was like, whoa, aww. I forgot this is how the late 80s and early 90s
That's
were.
Sweet.
So, fun action movie. Yeah. Did you pick up on or care about what a few people have written in regarding Patrick Swayze's character, that he's got this PhD and he's the thinker and he says no one ever wins the fight. Did that matter to you or were you like, get back to breaking bottles?
No, I kind of like the mentality that he did have. He kind of, he's a badass, but he's calm at the same time. Shows that he really knows how to handle himself and others in certain situations. And I really like that character they portrayed in him, that he wasn't just kind of a firecracker in a sense. Like, he's not a meathead. He's not, roided out, ready to just kick people's ass.
Right.
He's calm, collected, and knows when it's appropriate to act the way he acts.
So we got emails from people saying, like, somebody wrote in and said, this is what I don't like about the Jake Gyllenhaal movie is, Patrick Swayze, he was a thinker, blah, 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 blah. He wasn't that, and that's not Jake Gyllenhaal at all. That was one of the complaints from that guy, because we've kind of gotten mixed reviews. Hmm. So we got a few emails. RAD@radradio.com from people who over the weekend saw the new Roadhouse. This one is from No Name.
Hey, person.
Says, I never saw the original Roadhouse either, and I'm 42.
Oh.
I just watched the new Roadhouse on Amazon, and that was a killer movie.
Oh.
Tons of action. Like it was talked about the other day, there may be a little bit of Point Breakish vibes in it, but definitely no Fast and Furious vibes. Yeah, there was that rude connection.
Weird. Yeah.
Good enough movie that I would definitely watch it again. Good laughs, and I feel like a great story. Plus, that unexpected cameo with Post Malone was interesting. Okay.
Really?
So there's that. Then we got this note from Evan.
Hey, Evan.
Who says, I just finished Roadhouse. Overall, not too bad. I really like Conor McGregor's character. He plays the main antagonist in the movie. Full psychopath, and he played it well, says Evan. There were some corny one-liners in the film, but that's to be expected. The one I couldn't just brush off because it was just cringe. I gotta say, and maybe it's because I'm a child of the 80s, I had the exact opposite reaction, because I'll give you my review in a moment.
Okay.
There is a scene where, towards the end, where Conor McGregor's character and Jake Gyllenhaal's character are having one of their many epic duels. and Conor McGregor is bashing Jake Gyllenhaal's head against the keys of a piano.
Oh, damn.
All right.
Oh, my God.
And after, like, the third or fourth bashing, Jake Gyllenhaal says, "This piano is out of tune."
Oh.
And Conor McGregor says, "That sounds right to me." And then, great. I didn't find that cringe at all. I thought it was hysterical Arnold Schwarzenegger, yes. Stallone yeah. type
it's
stuff.
Awesome.
Is it when he says cringe, like that's corny to him?
It's no, it's worse than corny.
Because like, what's cringe about? Cringe that's just a strong word for that.
Cringe is, oh, that's awful. Oh.
You went there? Oh.
Cringe that was is, so funny.
Cringe is Sarah Jessica Parker naked. That's cringe. Yeah.
Well, it kind of ties back to more of the 80s and early 90s films. Don't they use right. a lot of those one-liners,
yes.
kind of cheesy things inside of the action movies?
They're great.
It would be, to some, you might even say, an homage to exactly that. Uh-huh. Although, in the end, Evan says, overall, 8 out of 10. And I would watch again if the wife is interested. Oh, yes, must have the wife's permission to watch the second time.
God forbid.
Can't you just watch it yourself when you have more free
right,
time?
Because housewives are on or watch, something.
Exactly.
But then there's Joshua, who says about the new Roadhouse movie, "I knew it wasn't going to be an exact remake, which was fine. And the original isn't an Oscar-worthy film anyway. But the acting across the board," this is in the new one, "was pretty bad. Many times, it was hard to watch, and most of the time, I just felt like it was incredibly corny. I know that some corniness is to be expected, and I'm fine with that, if the movie keeps me interested and entertained, but this one was bad enough that I didn't even care when I paused it for 30 minutes to listen to my wife and daughter discuss the current conspiracies surrounding the British royal family. I felt like Jake Gyllenhaal had to dumb down his acting so that the other poor performances stood up a little better. Conor McGregor was just completely awful. I didn't expect much from him to begin with, but his character would have been better with barely any dialogue at all. I give it a 4 out of 10. So there's two.
Oh, damn, that's
two
a bad
guys,
one.
Two guys, completely different movie experiences. So I did as promised. I watched the new Roadhouse movie. I'm much more with Evan. I'd go with 8 out of 10, maybe 9 out of 10. I will watch it again with or without my wife's approval. I also had the perspective of some things that had been written in. I do not get the guy who wrote in and said, "Well, I really resent the fact," or however he phrased it, you know, that Patrick Swayze's character, he was this PhD, he was this thinker, and you know, he had that famous line, "No one wins in a fight," and things like that, and Kyle was just describing, he wasn't a hothead. Patrick Swayze's character held back until he couldn't. Mm. That's the exact character that Jake Gyllenhaal is playing. Except he's a former UFC fighter. Other than that, he lays back in the background. He only fights until he has to. And he utters the phrase, "No one wins in a fight," more than once. So I don't know what the hell that guy that wrote in was even talking about at all. It is updated for the year that we live in, 2024. Jake Gyllenhaal, former UFC fighter, finds his way into this town I think it's in the Keys in Florida, where there's a roadhouse, and he first meets up with this family that owns a bookstore, a father and daughter, and they try to create, like they do in some of these movies, this compelling, you know, a story of, here's this family that Jake makes a connection with. It's kind of the first people that he meets with. I'm not going to say that story doesn't go anywhere, because in movies like this, it's not really meant to. And it does kind of come full circle at the end. It's part of the story. But the main story is at the Roadhouse, where Jake Gyllenhaal will often just be sitting at the end of the bar watching these fights occur until somebody has to step in. He also plays mentor. He teaches some of the other guys. Jake Gyllenhaal's character is like a world-renowned, world-known UFC champion. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but to the point where he ultimately did something in one of his fights that was so over the top, he's like the most feared man.
Oh, damn.
Maybe, quote-unquote, in the world, if nice. You will. The fight scenes are epic. It takes an hour before Conor McGregor's character shows up. And that first hour is fine. It's setting everything up, and there's plenty of action. The fights between Gyllenhaal and McGregor are almost too much, too long.
Damn.
But not for me. I don't know, again, what this guy's talking about. I thought Conor McGregor was fantastic. A lot of people said he's playing himself. I believe it. Total psycho. I mean, off the wall psycho. Nuts. And the Gyllenhaal character gets to the point where, again, this is not a spoiler, where, and they allude to it through the first hour because of his UFC background, he is that guy who comes across as very affable, very friendly, very laid back, until you piss him off. Ooh. And it takes a lot to piss him off.
Good.
A lot.
Yeah, no, that's good.
But when you do, the world burns. And that's kind of the experience of the movie. Brandon, you'll appreciate this. That show we love on Hulu, The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do I have that right about
yes.
the restaurant? Okay. I think she's now the chef. She was the sous chef. Best way to describe her, the African-American girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's in it.
I saw that.
She owns the Roadhouse Bar.
Right on.
She's a supporting role, but she's excellent in it. I don't know what this guy is talking about with the acting. The acting is excellent. Does Gyllenhaal have to dumb down his acting? I don't think so, because of the character he's playing. He's playing this guy that I'm just, in fact, the more I talk about it, being 24 hours removed from it, the more I liked the movie. The movie is really, really good. I'm not telling you it's the greatest action movie of all time, but it is mostly a mindless action movie. But there is a plot to it. There's an evil conglomerate of a family that is trying to destroy the Roadhouse because they own the entire rest of the coastline and they want to build a giant casino for rich people, and owner of the Roadhouse won't give in. But the way they're trying to destroy the Roadhouse is they send in their goons every night, start these fights, make no one want to show up. Jeez. And so the bouncers are necessary. And so that leads to endless attempts at retribution against Gyllenhaal's character, etc. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very well done. Usually these things that are remakes, reboots, etc., are disappointing. I am not a Jake Gyllenhaal fan in general. I really like the movie, and I would absolutely recommend it.
So comparing the old Roadhouse to the new one that just came out, what is the nudity like in it? Because I watched over the week, and I was like, man, they did not miss an opportunity to show off nudity.
Pictures. As I said, very 2024, no nudity at all.
None?
There is no nudity.
Whoa.
I don't know, Kyle, maybe it's the prevalence of porn. I didn't miss it. I wasn't wishing for boobs because I can get whatever I want.
Well, sure, no, I understand, but watching it, I was like, oh, I understand why my mom wouldn't let me watch this as a kid. I mean, every other scene it felt like.
Right, but again, in the whatever that was, was that in 89 or 91?
It says 89.
For Roadhouse, porn wasn't prevalent. We put boobs in everything, and hoo-hoo if you could get away with it, because that was the only way you could see it. Now,
So the guy whose review of it that you disagree with, I would be interested, like, what is his list of guy movies? Because he reminds me of, like, people with the Oscars, where they won't pay homage, or they refuse, unless it's something that they find so artsy and theatrical, right? Like, that's how I view him, maybe with, like, how he watches movies and would refuse to, like, when there's a popular movie that we all like, that everyone has clearly said is great, but it's not like the acting has to be completely top-notch. We don't care. It was great. We love it. And they just will not pay any homage to it a lot of times. That's just how I, like, envision him. Like, he's on the board with the Oscars, and he's just too picky about things. Like, he's just not sitting there just enjoying a guy movie.
The other email we got was the guy that who said how unrealistic it was. I mean, again, it's an action movie, and if what he means is, like, the Die Hard movies, that there's no way one guy could sustain everything that Bruce Willis sustains in an entire movie.
Yeah.
Sure. That you have to go into understanding.
Yeah.
But if what he means is that anything else, I don't know what else would be unrealistic in terms of the movie. That's
well,
just
and
my
then he throws
thought.
In he'd watch again with his wife, right? If his wife
well, that was
wanted
a different
to.
Guy.
That was a different guy.
Yeah, that was okay, a different. Yeah. That was from yesterday. Yeah, the guy who said it was unrealistic or whatever. Let's get to a Treble Trouble right now. We got a pair of tickets for U2 see Chevelle at the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno on April 23rd. We're going to play you a three-second song clip. You give us the title of the song, and you win. Caller 18 guesses first, then 19, then 20. And if nobody knows the song title,
no one wins in a fight.
Droplets everywhere and no winner.
We need a winner.
888-989-9811 for treble. Trouble.
Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn. The Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn Show.